research from the Oregon Center for Public Policy shows Oregon is tops in the nation for its growth of million-dollar incomes. Joining us is Juan Carlos Ordonez, Communications Director for the Oregon Center for Public Policy. First of all, your research shows the number of taxpayers reporting annual income of $1 million or more has risen faster in Oregon than any other state. Are you surprised about this?
Not that surprised. Oregon's economy tends to do quite well during economic upswings. So we've seen, for example, figures that Oregon, our economy outperforms pretty much every other state during these periods. Oregon workers tend to be more productive. So the fact that Oregon has been growing the number of million-dollar incomes faster than the rest of the country is not that big a surprise. I guess seeing it number one, though, I guess it is in that respect unexpected. But that we're doing well is not too much of a surprise.
Okay. And when you came up with this figure, how did you look at the data from the Internal Revenue Service?
Well, the IRS makes this data available on its website and updates it every year. So we, our policy analyst here, took the numbers and compared Oregon to all the other states, looking at the number of filers at the $1 million at $1 million or above, and the IRS breaks down that data.
And you were looking at the years from 2010 to 2017. In that, you said the number of Oregonians with at least $1 million in annual income jumped to 133%. And second on this list was Washington State, not far behind. Why do you think it's especially fast growing here in the Pacific Northwest?
We have very dynamic sectors, and also we are, the Northwest, Pacific Northwest, attracts a lot of people, there's a lot of newcomers to the state, a lot of innovation. So, I don't know the details about Washington State as much as Oregon, but I don't know how normally they do. But I know that Oregon, for example, as I mentioned before, our economy tends to do quite well during economic upswings, and that's the period 2010 to 2017 has been a period of economic growth. So that we are showing up towards the top here is not that big a surprise.
And the IRS also showed that not only did Oregon outpace the nation in the growth of the number of taxpayers with at least $1 million in income, but also the size of this high income group. When you compare it to the rest of the state's taxpayers, that gives you a little bit more clarity about it. So tell us about that disparity.
Yes. So when you look at the share that folks with $1 million or more in income make up of all Oregon taxpayers, we've more than doubled that. They've more than doubled that share during that period, 2010 to 2017. So, I mean, it's still a very small sliver of Oregon taxpayers that make $1 million or more. But in 2010, for example, they made up just 0.1% of all taxpayers. That more than doubled during that 7-year period to more than 0.2%. So again, a very small sliver, but nevertheless, more than doubling. Mm-hmm. And this, looking at it this way, sort of takes into account changes in population. Because you're looking now at just the share of the pie that they make in Oregon, and we look at the same for all other states. So basically, Oregon saw the biggest growth in this analysis as well, of all states.
Mm-hmm. And you also noted there's a second set of figures in a graph that shows that Oregon had the second biggest percentage jump in the share of taxpayers with income of $1 million or more, and Washington doing very well on this one also at fourth. So again, it just seems like something's happening in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, I would say, again, the same factors that we both Oregon and Washington have pretty dynamic economies. We attract a lot of talented people, and there's a lot of good economic indicators that appear all over the place.
Overall, the country's averaging a 75% jump in millionaire income. Isn't that a good sign for the economy?
It shows that we have a growing economy. It's one way of looking at it, sure, that there's incomes are growing. I should add that, some of the growth reflected here is simply because of inflation. So some of the fact that we have more millionaires than before sort of makes sense just because there's inflation going on, and so incomes get bumped up. But there is real growth, at least in the case of Oregon, were we seeing us doing so much better than the rest of the country. Now, the fact that there are more millionaires, it's again, I think, a reflection of the fact that we've had a pretty good economy over this stretch. The economic recovery following the Great Recession started off slow, but then started picking up in the later years.
What are some of your main concerns about these results?
Well, I think that I wouldn't say that there's any concerns. I think that what's most interesting about this data is just that it's important to keep and put the situation in context. In January of 2010, Oregon voters enacted a tax increase on high-income Oregonians. And so during this period when we've seen a much faster growth in the number of millionaires here in Oregon, we also have had in place higher tax rates. And the reason why this is important is because often when the conversation comes up about raising taxes on high-income folks, the argument is often made, well, they're going to leave the state. And so this data, as a lot of other data that's been assembled in recent years shows, is that that's just simply not the case.
How is this impacting the housing crisis?
It's hard to draw a direct line. I think that one could make the case that a lot of income at the top of the income ladder can put pressure on the housing market, can push up prices, for example. I think that going back to your earlier question of what is troubling about this data, it's not directly tied to it, but one other factor that has been happening at the same time as we've seen the number of million-dollar incomes rise so much, is we've seen income inequality reach record levels. And that's certainly the case here in Oregon, where we've seen the income going to the richest 0.1% has been making new highs for the past few years. And that is definitely a concern. And certainly income inequality is a factor that indirectly affects the housing market.
Also, when it comes to college tuition, I know that many families are really struggling as the costs there continue to skyrocket, really. Do you think that the stratification, the income inequality is affecting that as well?
It's indirectly, I would say. I think income inequality is a very large problem and there are many factors that are driving it, and some of those same factors that are driving inequality spill over into college affordability. So part of the reason why income inequality has been rising so much, not the only reason, but one of them is simply changes in the tax system, especially at the federal level, where we used to have a very progressive tax system that asked much more proportionally of those at the top. And it's become much less progressive over recent years. And in fact, a recent analysis that came out showed that the very richest people in our country are paying a lower tax rate than those at the bottom. And the way that affects college affordability and a bunch of other things is that there's less to invest in these in education and in the other public services that Oregonians and all Americans depend on. We know from the figures here in Oregon that there's been a big decline in state investments in higher education in the way that our state supports our public colleges and universities. And to make up for that deficit, for that decline, tuition has gone up. So that's, I think, one of the indirect ways where these numbers tie into that story.
You know, you're a dad, so I'm sure the ideas about school and preschool in particular are important. And that's something that you mentioned, the cost of preschool is really high, and a lot of people are struggling with that as well.
Right? Yes, it's roughly more than half of all kids in Oregon start kindergarten without the benefit of preschool. To me, that's a shame. Oregon should be ashamed of that fact. These kids enter kindergarten already at a disadvantage compared to their peers. And the reason is simply we don't have universal preschool here in Oregon, as a few other states do. And so for us, that would be an excellent investment of resources by our state.
And you also make an argument that all of this research shows that the richest people in our country should contribute more toward the common good, right?
That's right. I think that there's, we know from Oregon's experience that raising the top marginal tax rates on the rich is not going to cause them to leave, and those resources can be put to very good use. in addressing things such as the housing affordability crisis that we have statewide, things such as access to preschool, and a number of other things that would make the improve the quality of life for our people and frankly build a stronger economic foundation for our state going forward.
Mm-hmm. One thing you latched onto earlier, you were talking about how it seems that people with the higher incomes often pay the lower rates of taxes. So what kinds of changes in tax policy would make things more fair, do you think?
I think that the low-hanging fruit as far as tax policy goes, and not that any of this is easy politically, but some of the things that are most obvious is simply closing tax loopholes that benefit those most well-off. And there's quite a number here in Oregon. So, for example, we have a special lower tax rates on what is called pass-through income that some business owners, like a lot of lawyers at law firms or doctors in private practice, can benefit from. And so they end up paying a lower tax rate than their paralegals and nurses, for example. So closing those kinds of tax loopholes that benefit the richest is just common sense. But beyond that, it we know from our experience that we can raise the top marginal tax rate and our economy will do quite well, and the rich will stay put. So, for example, I mentioned earlier in January 2010, Oregon voters approved of higher tax rates on the rich. The very highest rates put in place at that time were temporary, and they settled down at a lower rate, still higher than where they began. But that goes to show that there is room to raise the rates at the very top.
Mm-hmm. It seems like this might also correlate. I was reading in Forbes today that Oregon had the second highest rate of people moving in as opposed to moving out.
That's right. And that has been the case. That has been the case for quite a while now. Oregon, especially during the periods of economic growth, tends to attract a lot of people. We live in a very beautiful state, and there's often economic opportunities here. So people do move to Oregon, and they, you know, if you think about where people choose to move to, they're not going to want to move to places that have really poor infrastructure. Especially if you're thinking of setting up a business, you want to be close to where your customers are, where there's a good public school where you can send your kids. Where there's a lot of, amenities also. So, having for the public sector to have the resources necessary to provide quality of life for all people is important, not just for all Oregonians, but also to create a good business climate.
Mm-hmm. And it also showed that people are moving away from other states that maybe don't have the same advantages, like, say, Kentucky was one of the states, and Kansas was another, that they're actually losing people. Do you tie that in the rates of economic progress or economic prospects?
To some extent, and it's hard to say specifically about, say, Kentucky. I know that some of the Midwestern states, traditionally like the old industrial states, have been losing population, like Michigan is a prime example. So where their economic base has been eroding over the decades, and so people have been leaving. In the case of Kansas that you mentioned is a very interesting one. A few years back, Kansas conducted what was basically a big economic experiment with tax policy in which they really slashed tax rates all over the place, especially for those most well-off.
I remember
Yeah, and ultimately that proved to be a disaster, and that ultimately the state had to slash public services, had to make big cuts on schools, to the point that businesses were starting to pick up and leave because it just didn't make sense for them to, business people also want a good school for their kids and want to have the things that make it possible to have a good business climate. So since then, Kansas has begun to backtrack some, but I think Kansas is a very interesting case to study from the perspective of tax policy at the state level.
Yeah, I guess the bottom line message here, if you had to sum it up in a nutshell, would it be millionaires, we welcome you, but you got to pay your fair share?
I think that the I think that that it's more that millionaires are here and they're not going to go anywhere. They're if you're making $1 million in Oregon, you're pretty happy and you're not going to go anywhere just because we raised your taxes a little bit.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add about this research and what it shows?
Well, it's just that we will continue to track this research and also issues of income inequality, which is one of the biggest problems that we have for sure when it comes to our economy.
Do you have any idea how Oregon did in the past on similar research?
Well, we know that, for example, on measures of economic growth, on the growth of worker productivity, Oregon traditionally during the economic upswings is one of the top performers in the country.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Annette.
All right. Juan Carlos Ordonez, Communications Director for the Oregon Center for Public Policy.
Thank you.
I'm Annette Newell.